And the Daily Terway, Wednesday night, Rabbi Aryeh Tumin.
Good evening. Good evening. So every now and again, you come across a halacha, and it seems rather innocent, benign, and you scratch below the surface, and really there's a whole world going on out there, and the ramifications are very wide-ranging. And one such halacha came across is in Hilchos Schiyus Poyalim. Schiyus Poyalim. In Chayshu Mishpot, Shin Namad Gimel Shelek. And towards the end of that simon, there's a piece of Shulchan Aruch, and it reads as follows, 2-3 lines. It says, Omar le'umun, person said to a workman, Aseli dova ploini, make me an item. Ve'chel mimcho, and I'll purchase it from you. Vasoya umun, and the workman made it for him. Achakach, eine roitze lekachtoi. And now what's been made, the customer, the consumer, the purchaser, says anyway, he has no interest in purchasing the item. It's something which if you don't buy it immediately, yasid, it's going to spoil. One word. That's it. He's ordered the item, he said he'll purchase it, fellow went and made it for him, and now he has no longer any desire to buy it. Chayev. Adkan. Now, if you go back to the source for this halacha, where the Shulchan Aruch took this from, where did Rabbi Yosef Karu take this halacha from, it's based on the Tshuvas HaRosh. And the Rosh in his Tshuva there, he says, the reason why you're chayev in this instance is garami. What does that mean? We'll elaborate on that in a moment. Now, there's two questions on this Tshuvas HaRosh. Number one is, why is there a chiyuv of garami? Again, we'll elaborate what is garmi and why should there be yichiv, why should there not be yichiv. And number two is, why does he not say straightforward that you're chayev to pay just like you told anyone to do a job for you? If you ask somebody to do a job for you, you're chayev to pay. Again, we'll elaborate on the question exactly to try and define it. And the answers to these questions have very wide implications in all sorts of aspects. So the first question is, why is there a chiyuv of garmi? Garmi is a form of garoma. You cause somebody to have a loss. Normally, garoma, you're not chayev. It's indirect cause to loss. You didn't directly cause damage. Where it's more severe type of garoma, more direct, but it's not mamash direct, has it? It's called garmi. So normally, if you tell somebody to do something, and they have a loss as a result of following your instructions, you're not chayev. It says there's a case even of a landlord, and he had some storage, some warehouse, and he told a tenant that the warehouse is dry and it's suitable to store grain in it, and the fellow rented it, and all his grain is spoilt, and the Jewish Rashba says he's not chayev to pay for spoilt grain. Why? Groma. It's indirect damage. True. He may have caused it. There may be a few lots of sedation of mine. Oh, but the normal mazik, the normal hezek that we have when a person goes to Odom HaMazik, is a person to smash something, is not sufficient to be mechayivim. So normally if you tell somebody something and they follow your instruction, and as a result of that they have a loss, then there are instances where it's a machloikas, but why? In this instance, is it so posha, and a Shulchan Aruch brings down chayiv is gami. So Rebbe Kiva Eger has a tshuva, and he says that the point here is that you've instructed somebody to have an expenditure. Told them, go take money out of your pocket, and you've guaranteed him something in return. So his spending money, and you tell him, promise something in return, is sufficient to mechayev you. There's two other examples we find of this in Shulchan Aruch. Number one is halacha in Hilchos Dayanos, Simon Yudalat, someone says to somebody, go to that place, v'ani ovei acharecho, and I'll meet you there. And the fellow goes, and he's still waiting, because the guy never came. So the Shulchan Aruch of their paskins, the Ramah of their paskins, you have to pay him for his hoitzois. for the expenditure, for the train ticket, whatever it was, the travel, possibly the tircha also, their expenditure you mechuyav to pay him. Why? So okay, you told him, spend money, go travel. Travel costs, you told him, go travel, and I, he's maftiachim, will do something. The other example that we have is in Hilchos Shtaros. Somebody says to somebody, prepare a shtar, go to the sofer, commission him to write you a shtar. When the shtar is ready, come to me, I will lend you the money. And then the malva backs out, he backtracks, decides not to lend the money. I have a question, can't he? Is he ready to quit or not? But even the smart brings out that even if you hold that he's not mechuyav to lend him the money, but he's mechuyav to reimburse him for the cost of writing this document. Why? He told him, go and do something, spend money. He didn't just say go and do it. He told him, spend money, and I will do it. That's the common denominator here. Three cases where the person says expenditure and he guarantees him, he's maftiachim, something in return. So where would this have ramifications? Where could this have implications? Very common scenario. A person puts his property on the market, and so on. They agree, they come to a memorandum of sale, they agree a price, and he says, okay, the survey, we're going to do apply for a mortgage. And then the seller, the vendor backs down. Is he mechuyav to pay? And not only that, he had to get onto the mortgage, he had to go off his benefits, go onto the salary, had to cost him tax, he lost all his benefits, etc. So there's a whole host of costs that he's incurred in preparation, in anticipation of being able to purchase his house. The fellow then backs out. And he says, okay, you're backing out, but I want my costs back. Is he entitled to or not? So according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you'll have a weak case. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger's argument is, the whole basis for the claim here is that you told him to spend money out of his pocket. Did I tell you to apply for a mortgage? Did I tell you to get a survey? I didn't tell you. You want to buy the house, I'll sell you the house. You want to do it, I told you to go do it. If you said, you commission your solicitors, and I'll instruct mine, and yet when they instruct the solicitors, and then yet they instruct the solicitors, then we have what to talk about. Yeah. So this idea that Rabbi Kiyaga brings in, which sort of pops in here, kilach hayad, it's chayev, I don't even say why, has the definition and understanding of the exact parameters will have nafka minas in many cases. Okay. So that's the first point. The point is there is a gami. The second point is, why are you not mechuyav? You told your worker to do something. You said, I'm going to pay you for doing the job. He's done the job. You need to pay him. And so let's define that again. You ask somebody to do a job for you. It doesn't have to be on your property. It can be on anything, right? So, for example, there's a story that someone came into the Beis Medrash. It was after Yom Tov, Shabbos, Yom, 3-day Yom Tov. And there was forum everywhere, the whole place there. And the fellow goes up to the Gabba and he says, what's going on here? It's not in Beis Medrash. And the Gabba says, what can I do? There's no way I can manage to put away all these forum. There's a place, there's hundreds of forum out. So the fellow said to him, it was Eretz Yisrael, obviously. The fellow says to him, if you pay me 200 shekels, if I clean up the whole Beis Medrash, you pay me 200 shekels. So the Gabba says, yeah, for sure. So the guy goes up to the Bima, and he bangs out on Bima, Rabbi Sai, it's a bizarre HaTorah. Everyone should get up now and put three swarm away. And the whole place got up, and the whole thing, in 5 minutes, the whole place was sorted. They came out to the Gabba 200 shekel. So the Gabba said, what do you mean? You didn't do the job, you didn't do anything. So the point is, you made a price. There was a job. Okay, it doesn't make a difference how I did it. We're talking about, in Halacha, there's broadly speaking two categories. There's Poel and Kablan. Loosely translated, probably an employee and a contractor. Kablan is where you pay the person to agree a price to do a job. Employee, where you pay him a salary per day and he has to work for you, Poel. A Kablan is where you fix the price of the job, however long it takes, it's longer or shorter, that's the price for the job. How does he do it? Doesn't matter. However he gets it done, yeah. There are some who say even if it's not through him, but we don't like that. But he has to do the job, so he's done it. How does he get it done? Doesn't matter, none of your business. It took him more effort, less effort, you pay him. He's done the job, you have to pay him. Fine. So now, he's commissioned somebody to make something for him. To custom-made item, whatever it is, he's calling him. And he said to him, do me a favor, make this item and I'll buy it off you. And now he wants to retract. So the chayra, you told somebody to do the job. No, he's not paid yet.
Not made yet.
He's made it. And the halacha here, as it says, talking about a case that will spoil. if he doesn't purchase a miyad.
So why are you paying?
Hang on a minute. And now he has to pay chayef, but only al tzgarmi. When I say only al tzgarmi, we're going to see what I mean when I say only al tzgarmi. But such a face value nafkah minute is if the craftsman, the worker, can sell this item to somebody else, or be at a reduced price, it's his onus to sell it. He sells it, and he says, now I've suffered a loss, and I've suffered a loss, you'll pay the difference. But if he's a worker, he's an employee, he says, I've done the job, you asked me to make this, you pay me for the job, the item's there, you don't want it, throw it in the bin, I don't care, you sell it. But he's not, okay, this is not Mechayim, come on, why not? So there's two approaches here. And as I say, there's very wide ramifications. The first approach is that of the Nesivas HaMishpot. Nesivas HaMishpot, on this sif, asks a question. He asks it slightly differently, but there's such a point that his answer is contained in the phraseology here. The wording of the order was such, said, make me the item and I will buy it off you. So the way that he's worded his instruction is, I'm going to buy it off you. So he called up the bakery and says, I want to buy a simcha challah. Okay, we don't have one, we'll make one for you. Okay, make it for you, I'll buy it off you. So the arrangement here is a buyer-seller arrangement. So the fact that he said, I'm going to buy it and sell it for you, you're not a worker. You're going to sell me an item. You arrange, you're going to sell me an item. Now, if I don't decide to buy it, normally I said I'm going to buy something and I back out. It's not a nice thing to do. If you have a reason, maybe. But you can't. You can't be mechayev money for that. But here the one fellow went and spent money, so now you're going to have to pay him for his loss. He can sell the item for a reduced price or whatever value he can get for it, and then you have to reimburse him for the loss. The other achrayim,
you have to reimburse him with profit or just cost price?
That's a very good question. It's unclear. Pashas is garmi. You only, the Shulchan just says chayev. So the steam is haloshen, and the smother says the pisuk, yeah, the whatever you agreed, the pricing agreed. But the other akhoyim say, you only have to pay the actual cost. There was a story where somebody ordered like a simple challah from MH and for a bris, and he backed out, he said, don't buy it. So he said, I'll pay you the cost, but they didn't want to tell him how much it actually cost to make this challah. So. Okay, so the question is also, what's their loss? Because what would they have done if he not ordered simple challah? They would have made little challahs. Yeah, and they just chucked out more little challahs at the end of the day, because they always chuck out challahs at the end of the day. So they didn't really lose anything. Yeah, they just lost, they chucked out one big challah at the end of the day, instead of many little challahs.
Could have not.
Yeah, okay, fine, it depends on the day. But okay, but I'm saying that will be enough gemina, technicality, which seems like an academic point. But if it's garmi, so we're really assessing the losses that they suffered as a result of the expenditure on your behalf. We're not saying you have to keep your deal. We're saying, you made them suffer a loss, reimburse the loss. So now we're going to have to approach it and understand what is the loss. It could well be that we'll say the loss is the profit they could have made during that time. They could have made other things, could have sold it and made the profit. Fine. But it's a entirely different approach. So 1 minute. The other Achronim take a wider approach, and that is its approach of the Maral Sosoin, which is quoted by Eger, the Tzoyis HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan. It's very prominent authorities quote Maral Sosoin, and he says where somebody, a workman, is working on his own items, then it becomes a sale. If he's working on your items, or even not your items, someone else's items, then it's not a sale. He's your worker. But where he's producing his own thing, it belongs to him. And then he's going to give it to you at the end of the job. That is what makes a sale. So the difference between the Nesivas and the Maral Sosoin, they're very close. But the Nesivas says it depends on the wording at the time of the instruction. And Maral Sosoin says it's irrespective of the actual wording used. But the point is, who's providing the materials? Who's providing the raw products? If the worker is providing his own raw products, then at that point, it becomes a sale. It gets a bit more technical, because you can have a situation where he's providing his raw products on, let's say he's building an extension, and the builder's providing his own products, but he's working on my property. So, what are you going to even say in that situation? Is it a sale or not? Okay, that's a sheer base. But for the moment, the point is, Maral Sosoin holds, it's whatever you call, wherever wherever you work on your own products, and then you pass that on to the customer, that's got the status of a sale. Now, the nafka minas are very wide-ranging, and one of them is, for example, if you consider somebody a worker, a kabbalah, according to the Sivus, as long as you haven't spoken loud in times of a purchase, he's a worker, he's working for you. So what happens, for example, if you have a caterer, and you order a caterer for a suda, and you don't want a caterer event, let's say a bris suda. Now, according to the Nesivus, Pashas, he's a worker for you. You told him to provide, prepare meals, prepare the portions, and serve them. As long as you don't say, I'm buying the meals off you, perhaps if you agree, okay, price per head, it might be slightly different, but certainly, if you agree a price for the event, according to the Nesivus, it'd be a cup. According to the Maras Sosin, the caterer is working on his own food, on his own raw materials, everything is done his thing. Eventually he's going to deliver it to you. Point of delivery will be at the Suda. So it's a sale. What happens? Morning of the bris, male comes round, look at the baby, and he says, I don't know what's happened, but we cannot do a bris today. Right. So if he's a kablan, call up the caterer, he says, well, I've prepared everything ready. I've done it, it's all ready for you, okay, come get it, I'll deliver it ready for you where you want. So if he's a kablan, he can't back out of it. It's not a question of backing out, he's done the job. You ask him to do the job, I don't need the job anymore, doesn't matter, he's done it. Yeah? You ask him to work for you, I don't need to work for me anymore, because it doesn't matter, he's done the job for you. You ask him the job, he's done the job, you have to pay him, there's no way out. Now, what about according to Maharaj Sosin? Maharaj Sosin says, it's a sale. Now, it's a sale. A sale normally you can back out of. Except we said over here, even if you back out of it, you're chayev because Gami, because he has expenditure. Gami has certain parameters and rules. You want him to chayev something because he has expenditure. So, the vast majority of achroyim, the normative opinion is, for this type of Gami, it's only if you're poshea, you're amazed, you're deliberate, you want on, you've done something wrong, then I say to you, you've done something wrong, you've caused me a loss, I've had the direct expenditure as a result of your instruction, that is Garmi, I'm mechayiv you. But where someone inadvertently causes somebody a hefsut, you can't be mechayiv him in Garmi. Now, this halacha is based on what's called Garmi. But you find other halachas, for example, you find that what happens if someone asks employees of private Rebbe? Okay, now it might be slightly different, there may be establishment Hogim already about this, but in times of Shulchan Aruch, someone asks someone to employ someone who is Rebbe. And now, as a result of that, his son got sick. He couldn't teach. And the guy turned down other jobs as a result of that. The guy agreed to teach, you took me into your employment, as a result of me agreeing to your employment, normally, if you backtrack for no reason, you'll have to reimburse the worker as a result of the turning down of a job that he could have had because of you, that's called Garmi. That's also, and that's what the Tshuva Rosh bases his Tshuva on. So, if he had a loss of a job because of you, now you can't deliver because he's the child's unwell. What's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Again, it's one of these halachos that you learn, and it seems very technical, and a bit maybe archaic, and doesn't really relevant. But once you see these halachos, they have, and then you see the tshuvas, you realize that it's very, very relevant and applicable as long as you can take out the framework. And then the halacha says as follows. If neither of them could have known the child's going to get sick, we don't know the child, or they both know the type of child, this is the type of thing that the child goes through, right? So then, you didn't do the work, you don't get paid. But if the father knows his child has a tendency to get sick, and the malamed had no way of doing that, so then it becomes the father's responsibility. So essentially, normally it's no work, no pay. If you want to get paid for onus, you have to stipulate that even if I can't do the job, you're going to pay me. But where the father was the one who could have known, And the Malamud didn't know. And the father doesn't stipulate that if my son gets sick, I'm not going to pay you, then you're going to have to pay him. That's halacha. So, I saw some notes in a pamphlet where he says as follows: by this bris suda, when you order the bris suda, if you know that it's a bris suda, and the fellow who's preparing the event doesn't know it's a bris suda, so then it'll be. So first of all, let's go slow down. The point is, first of all, the first point that we see is that you have an onus. Normally, the child backs down. Normally, the employer backs down. He has to pay his worker for the loss of work that he had. Where it's through an onus, he doesn't have to. Right? So that's the first thing. Even though there's garmi, where you're an onus, you don't have to pay. So here our approach is, we said, if you learn about Maras Sosoin, you're buying it off him, you told him to make the suda for you, you backtrack, you're mechuyim din garmi. But 1 minute, I'm an onus. Onus, you're not mechuyim din garmi. This is called an onus? Yes, it's called an onus. A child gets sick, that's called an onus, which is sufficient to part you from garmi. The child got yellow, the child became sick, garmi. But hang on 1 minute. If the person knew, and the other person didn't know, then the onus falls on you, even though you're an onus. So you knew you were making a bris, and he didn't know this was for a bris suda. So he didn't know this all up in the air. Or if he knew it was a bris, and you knew the male told you, day three, day four, we don't know, it's a bit iffy, and you don't mention that, then the oil becomes you. But if the event was cancelled, you too, provided, again, it's all provided the caterer doesn't have his terms and conditions, there's no minhag medina. But essentially, according to halacha, this will be a nafkamina between the maras sosoin and the nasivus. If he's a kavlan, if he's done a worker, you treat him as an employee, he's done the work for you. If you treat it as a purchase of a vendor, you can back out as long as you're an onus. Well, if you're a bit technical.